is hereby reconvened into regular open session of council at
6:31 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-629, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Pekkanen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held December the 3rd, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. We're back in the open session. We'll ask for a roll call again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Hackenan.
Clerk Administrator Harley Brayton.
Mayor David Ward. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 24-630, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into a public meeting at
6:33 p.m.
under Section 34 of the Planning Act to review the McBride's application to amend the zoning bylaw to change the zoning of the subject property on McKellar-Ferguson Boundary Road from Inland Development 1. That's RU, to special provision SP 16.80, to permit a detached garage as a primary use of a property without a main building or structure and subject to all other requirements of the Inland Development 1, the RU zone. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Anybody to speak to this?
Yes, Dave and Tara, I've made you co-host if you have anything to share on your screen. If not, can you give us a brief summarization?
Sure, I can give you a brief overview of the planning report. So just turn on my camera here. I just sent you a question before the meeting. Did you circulate to the application to McDougal Township? Just because it is within 1 kilometer, just wanted to make sure that was covered up.
No, I did not.
I guess the question is, who was circulated for this one?
The landowners within 120 meters of the property.
In terms of agency circulation, I should have meant to ask you earlier and I didn't get a chance. I just wanted to make sure that the list of agencies, the Township of McDougal was included, because we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to provide any comments, because it is within 1 kilometer of the township boundaries. So I can go over the report and I give you a preliminary recommendation. If we haven't received, we haven't circulated McDougal Township, then we can let me know and we can put the bylaw for the next meeting.
The Conservation Authority received the application, the notice, but the municipality of McDougal did not.
I'm going to recommend that we not, I can provide the recommendation for the report otherwise, but I'm going to recommend that the township hold its decision until we make sure that there's no comments from the neighboring township in line with the requirements of the Planning Act. Sorry that wasn't brought up earlier, it just occurred to me today, this is right on the township line, so we should make sure they have an opportunity to comment. Other than that, I'll go through the rest of my report. So the application is to change the zoning of the subject property from the inland development rural zone to a special provision zone. So the number in the zoning bylaw is 16.80. And that would allow the residential garage to be the primary use of the property. The application is otherwise consistent with the provincial planning statement, and it conforms to township's official plan. And our preliminary recommendation would be that it be approved, subject to comments from Dougal. The background of this file is the property is located on the eastern side of the McKellar-Ferguson boundary road. That's a seasonal maintained municipal road, north of Highway 124. And the owners of the property own land on the opposite side of the road, just a little bit up on a lake, Battle Lake. The property itself is about 100 hectares. It's a very large property. It ranges almost all the way to McKellar Lake at the rear of the property, so towards the east. So it's about a kilometer in depth from one side to the other. So it's quite a large property. There's also an area of floodplain at the back of the property in association with a small wetland. So as I mentioned, the lands are designated or zoned inland development rural. They're designated rural and environmentally sensitive in the official plan, and the environmentally sensitive designation is reflective of that small wetland area, the rear of the property. So we've reviewed the application in light of the policies of the provincial planning statement. In rural lands, development that's related to resources or limited residential development is permitted. This is residential related development. So our opinion is that this meets the intent of the policies for rural lands in the PPS. Section 3.5 of the PPS has some policies related to land use compatibility. I should mention that there is a licensed aggregate pit. I'm not sure if they're currently extracting or not, but that is located immediately north of the property. We would note that if this was what we call sensitive land use, for example, residential or school or hospital where there's people sleeping, overnight accommodations, that sort of thing, we would normally ask for a land use compatibility report with an application proposing sensitive use. But in this case, because they're just proposing a garage, I'd recommend not having any requirements related to land use compatibility, and the application is consistent with those policies of the PPS. Moving on to the OP, did mention there is a wetland and an environmentally sensitive area on the far eastern side of the property. This is over 900 meters away from the proposed garage site, so we're not recommending any sort of environmental impact study to accompany the application. If council is concerned, you always have the option of adding a setback to those features, just to make sure that any future sensitive uses near those features triggers a planning application and an environmental study. There's policies in the official plan, section 5.2.6, which essentially mirror those on aggregate resources in the PPS and require a land use compatibility study for development adjacent to a pit quarry. But as noted, this is not a sensitive use, so there's no requirements for a land use compatibility study. There are policies that require development to be located on a year-round maintained public road, subject to exceptions that permit a limited number of seasonal residential dwellings and waterfront designation. So the proposed use is a garage associated with a seasonal dwelling on the opposite side of the road. It's our opinion that the application meets the intent of these policies in limiting development to that which is appropriate for a seasonal road. In terms of permitted uses, a detached garage as a primary use is common in many rural areas. It's usually associated with low-density residential development, and indeed that is what the zoning bylaw says. There's nothing in the official plan stating that they cannot apply for a rezoning to allow the construction of the garage. So our opinion is that it meets the intent of those policies for the permitted uses in the rural designation. Moving on to the zoning bylaw. So the zoning bylaw amendment that's in front of you proposes some exceptions, recognizing the location of the, just going to read the exceptions off the zoning bylaw that we drafted here. So the ground floor area of the garage would be 75.19 meters squared, and that would be the primary use of the property. We've also proposed exception that there be no sanitary facilities proposed, so that we make sure that it's not going to be used for an Airbnb or something like that. It's just storage of cars and toys. Overnight human accommodations will be prohibited, and the access, just reiterate that access is proposed via a seasonally maintained road. There's a schedule to the bylaw attached to the draft bylaw, and it shows that the floodplain zone portions towards the rear of the property would stay the way they are. So I will stop there and turn it over to council for any questions. As I know, I would recommend we hold off on approving the bylaw just until we have comments from the township of McDougall, and then we move approval to the next meeting cycle.
Okay, thank you. Whether the applicants had any information to add? Maybe you're muted.
No, I don't think we have anything to add. I think actually the report covers exactly what we're looking for and the reason we're looking for it. Just happened to be across the road in McDougall with the cottage that we have and have no space to put a garage in, and we have this other property that is ideal. So nothing more to add than that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from council? Councillor Keckner?
Just a question about point D. Access to the property is permitted via a street maintained seasonally by the township, McKellar Ferguson Boundary Road. Which township maintains that road seasonally?
Well, it's a boundary road. It's a good question.
I can answer that if you like. It's actually, there are year-round residents, not that that matters to this, but there are year-round residents around Valles Lake that plow the road, so that road is used actually year-round through to just south of Valles Lake. The north end of the road itself is looked after by McDougall, and the south end is looked after by McKellar. From the top, so if you're going from the top of Valles Lake to somewhere around West Road, that's looked after by McDougall, and then from West Road south is looked after by McKellar, somewhere along those lines.
Okay, thank you.
Just for clarification as well, the two pieces of property, they're in the same name, the same ownership?
Yes, they belong to our daughters.
So they really are in separate, even though they're relatives, they're in separate ownership, right?
Yes, my wife and I own the cottage, and the property in McKellar is owned by our daughters.
I just want a clarification, because I think the property in McKellar, that's a conveyable lot, right? That's a separate lot that maybe Mr. Wellwood can...
Sure. I'm looking at my properties report from GeoWarehouse right now, TerraNet. It is showing the whole area in the report as one property with one pin. So it would have to be a separately transferable parcel as a whole. There are two owners, I believe the daughters, that are on the ownership. I can see it.
Okay, I just want a clarification. We've run into this before with another piece of property down in Bailey Subdivision, Island View Drive. Whether it be a garage, because I know it's going to be an exception as such, so it doesn't really matter, but and the garage is listed as an accessory building, and if you look at, or it's accessory structure, and it's on the same lot as the principal residence. So it was suggested by another planner at one point that it be called a storage building rather than a garage. Does that make any difference?
Nothing would make any difference to me in terms of planning. We can change the terminology to, I think, residential storage building, residential related storage building, as long as it's grounded with the maximum floor area. I think that would be fine.
I think that was a suggestion before too, that the storage does have a limit there on what size it could be, so you could change those, the structure itself could be. Any other questions from council? Okay, well, thanks very much. Unless there are questions from the public as well, it is a public meeting. Nobody responding?
Could I ask you a question? Just given the planner's McDougall comment, do you have an idea what that means from a timing perspective for us?
I think there's no reason this couldn't be passed as part of the bylaws at the next council meeting from a calendar. Like, staff just needs to give, send a notice to McDougall, and then maybe even pick up the phone to get a more prompt response and say, hey, we have this application. Do you think you have any concerns? Please let us know as fast as possible. This can be done very quickly.
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And our next meeting, Carly, is?
December 18th. Or 17th, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that, Carly. December 17th?
December 17th is our next council meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me know if you need any help reaching out to them at all there, Carly.
Thanks. I'll send them an email and a phone call tomorrow.
Let us know when we're happy to sign off anytime once this item's over, unless there's any further questions from council.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Resolution 24-631, moved by Councillor Pekkanen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular session of council at
6:48 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. So we're actually going to deal with this and just defer it.
Yeah.
Okay. So resolution 24-632. Moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2024-82, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12 as amended with respect to lands legally described as concession 12, part lots 33 to 35, registered plan 42R7768, parts 5, 6, and 7, registered plan 42R21796, part 1, McKellar. McKellar Ferguson Boundary Road, McBride, a first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council this third day of December 2024. Now, it was recommended that we defer this, so I'll put it out to Councillor Haskam and Councillor Ryland.
Yes, I'd like to defer it to the next council meeting.
Any other discussion? Call the question then on the deferral. All those in favor? None opposed? Referral is carried. And resolution 24-633, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar has hereby received a deputation from Chair of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, Jennifer Dent Fuller, presenting the committee's revised tree canopy and natural vegetation bylaw, and further, Ms. Gent Fuller addressing questions regarding the aquatic environmental report by Generations Effect and strategies for building climate change resilience. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Should I go ahead?
Okay. Jennifer, it's all yours. Yes, you lost some of your audience, but.
So you've received actually four reports, two of them to do with the water. So I have just very brief comments about each one, and I'll stop at the end of each one to see if there are any questions. So the first deputation is the presentation of the revised tree canopy and naturalized vegetation bylaw 2024. The LSCC decided that the 2019 tree canopy and naturalized vegetation bylaw needed to be updated to clarify why the recommendations in this policy were being made. The new version of the bylaw highlights the fact that preserving the shoreline preserves the water quality and wildlife habitat. The presence of loons on the lake is a continuing indicator of high water quality, which is why one of the committee members suggested it could be called the loon bylaw. A healthy shoreline promotes high water quality. Healthy lakes and rivers are of benefit to all McKellar Township residents. They help to control erosion on land at the shore, and a healthy shoreline slows runoff during and after periods of heavy rain. A shoreline with full tree canopy and abundant vegetation helps to keep the water temperatures cooler and sequesters carbon, thereby countering warming temperatures caused by climate change. Long-rooted trees and plants assist the replenishment of groundwater. Even with the most advanced septic systems, which minimize leakage of phosphorus into the soil, there is a caveat that regular inspection of septic systems is required to maintain this advantage. The fact that we have no septic inspection program in place in McKellar Township, such as that provided under municipalities which are covered by the Ontario Clean Water Act, behooves us to encourage best practices when it comes to shoreline vegetation in order to minimize pollution entering the lake from septics. In addition, the new version of this bylaw contains a definition of indigenous or native plants, plants that were in the area before European settlement. We need to encourage the cultivation of native plants, as they do not require herbicides, fertilizers, and pesticides to survive, further decreasing pollution of the water bodies in McKellar Township. Are there any questions or comments about the proposed bylaw change?
For the tree canopy?
The tree canopy and naturalized vegetation, yes.
Okay. So, I believe that the Township of McKellar historically has tried to have the least amount of rules and regulations for residents to abide by. There is already way too much bureaucracy in the day-to-day lives of the people on the federal and provincial levels, let alone the municipality. My number one concern is the unnecessary extra layers of bureaucracy. In the Municipal Act number 271.7, which you mentioned, the municipality will protect and enhance the tree canopy and natural vegetation in the municipality. I believe the township has done this in the past, going back to the early 1990s when Bob Bray was in for one term and tried to bring in a Trees Bylaw Act requiring residents to get a permit to cut trees on their own property, which was defeated by the Township of McKellar. Also, back when I believe it was OPA number 8 was passed, during the process leading up to it, MNR had a map with a fire zones in McKellar and wanted trees in certain areas considered hazardous to cause fires, mostly trees surrounding homes, to be completely cut out. The mapping was thrown out at McKellar's request. So I believe that McKellar has done its due diligence in with a tree canopy. Did you ever think, Jennifer, that approximately one-third of the land in McKellar is rural, one-third is Crown, and one-third is Lakeshore? So the Crown, they're cutting the trees. Have you ever thought to go to the Crown and ask them not to be cutting those trees? Because actually we own the concessions, and when they cut the trees off of the Crown land, they have to come through the township, go through the township to bring those trees out. And I was wondering, did you ever consider, Jennifer, instead of going on about the tree canopy, which we have tried to protect the trees in this township, that maybe you should approach the people about limiting the size of motors on the lakes? The size of outboard motors on the lakes. They cause a lot of erosion on the shorelines.
Okay, so perhaps the title of this proposed bylaw isn't accurate. We've had a discussion in the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee that bylaw, but a policy that can be used for education amongst the residents. So this is by way of McKellar Township saying, this is what we think is a good idea, is to have as a general policy for the residents to adhere to in terms of the tree canopy. The intent of the committee is not to have more rules and regulations, because we completely agree with you that there are too many, and that wasn't our intent, but we can certainly rename it in order to make our intent obvious. In terms of the Crown land, no, we have not approached the Crown. We'd certainly be interested in doing that. In terms of the outboard motors, there has been a boat study in terms of the numbers of outboard motors or vessels on the lake. That was done a few years ago by Chris Hauser. There's been another boat wake study, and so through MLCA mainly, we've been trying to educate people about slowing down, and we've sold wake signs, and that's a continuing effort on our behalf as well. If you have any other suggestions as how we could better approach the number of outboard motors, I wouldn't have any idea of how we could do that, but I'd be interested in hearing them.
Okay, any other comments from council? The whole idea of the bylaw, now I understand what you're saying, it's a bylaw to put a policy in place. However, we always get feedback. Why put something in place that you can't enforce? And you did suggest that it's a policy, it's education, it's really not enforcement, but that's not how all residents interpret it. As soon as we put it into bylaw form, then they want us to enforce it, and that would be virtually impossible for the township to do all of these things, and I'm just not sure how we could enforce anything like this. Should it
so
be?
This bylaw exists now in its 2019 form, and so our effort was to update it. So we already have that on the books in McKellar Township.
Right, and I noticed in your notes that you said nothing's been done with it since November 2023 anyway, from your previous proposal for the tree canopy and the natural vegetative state or barrier. And I'm just wondering again if there's any hesitancy. First of all, something like this with these major changes, I would say I read the other bylaw that's in place, very basic. This adds an awful lot of whereases explaining why it's being put into place. And then you have a Schedule A, it's attached, quite extensive. I would say anything like this probably should be going public. It's important enough that the public weigh in on this. I'm not sure how we would do that other than to advertise it in some fashion. I was reading through as well the suggestions for councils from the province. And that was one of the things, too, to make sure that people are not disadvantaged by any bylaw that you put into place and that they are aware of what's going to happen. So I'm just not sure how you would maybe have suggestions on how it could go out to the public, something like this, if council were to pass it.
Well, I'd be very happy to work with the township staff and council in putting out a plan to go public with that.
Back for shaking her head.
Wasn't that repealed, that bylaw?
2019, I think it's still in place. Yes.
It's in place?
Yeah.
I thought we were doing, I thought 19.
This would repeal it.
No, but I thought our bylaw was 9512. The zoning bylaw.
Yeah, but we're not dealing with 9512. Well,
so
the suggestion here is to repeal the 2019.
3.08 buffer areas? Is that it? 3.08 buffer areas? Anywhere in the bylaw or buffer areas required to consist of an area to remain in its natural state where native vegetation is shown. to remain undisturbed except for pathways, the removal of dead or hazardous trees, the thinning for viewing. Have I got the wrong one?
I just have the number, McKellar Township Bylaw 2019-12, and it is called tree canopy and natural vegetation.
Okay, I must have a wrong one.
I think the 2019-12 being a bylaw to adopt the tree canopy and natural vegetation policy was the result of a requirement by the province that all municipalities would have to have this policy in place by March 1st, 2019. So this was a bylaw that was passed by council fourth day of February 2019. And, you know, reviewing it, I didn't see it to be a major diversion from the original bylaw. There was, you know, a little more explanation than the original 2019-12. The preambles, I think, were maybe a little bit excessive and could have been limited to just the first whereas, but quoting the exactly as the previous authorizing preamble was in the 2019-12. It was changed a little bit here. And then having the third whereas become the second whereas, and the second whereas becoming the third whereas, and the rest of them stroked, not necessary, because a lot of that information, if there wasn't a Schedule A attached to this bylaw, you would want to have extensive whereases like this to explain the bylaw, but since there's a Schedule A which has extensive charts, explanations, it's not necessary to have the extensive amount of whereases that are in the first part of the bylaw. And I think that the Schedule A portion of the bylaw, which it isn't listed as that, which it should, starting after the third page, if it was listed as Schedule A, as in the 2019-12 version, that page 1 of 4 of the Schedule A should be listed at the top, Schedule A to Bylaw 2019-12. And I think that the explanations could be streamlined a little bit. There is a bit of repetition in what would be considered the Schedule A to the new tree canopy bylaw. I think it's valuable information. It's not enforceable, and every municipality is required to have this tree policy in place. So,
any other comments from council?
Can you tell me again, Mike, where the whereas changes? I know you said it, but you said it pretty quickly. So.
The first whereas,
yeah,
that one is pretty good, but it's diverted from the actual quotation from the municipal act.
Okay.
The previous version had that. That's the
highlighted.
Yep.
So that stays.
Okay.
The second whereas becomes the third whereas.
Okay.
The third whereas becomes the second whereas.
Okay.
And that's it. Now therefore the council of the corporation of Township McKellar enacts as follows.
Okay. And you think we should lose everything in between?
Yes.
Okay.
Because a lot of that is explained within the what would be the Schedule A to the bylaw.
Okay.
And it just becomes repetitious.
Okay. Thank you.
And with just keeps things focused. It explains what the issue is and what the goals are in those three the two whereases. So any further explanation can be found in the what is enacted as the Schedule A, which is everything after that. I'll be
okay.
Pages up to page 13, and even that can be reduced because, like I said, there is some repetition and maybe some things that need to be worded in a way that's a little more focused. I do see a lot of it is from the 2019-12 bylaw, so but expanded a little bit, providing a little more information.
Okay.
Whereas the 2019-12 bylaw was based on the Parry Sound tree canopy bylaw, because I recall looking that up and then Tammy why we use that as our bylaw. So it does have a little more of a urban, it uses the word urban in there as well. Whereas new proposed bylaw seems a little more focused on the needs and concerns of our municipality.
Okay, again, I'll just read what the province has put out to education to councils. How will the bylaw affect the community? Will it impose restrictions or hardships on particular areas or groups of people? Will public reaction be favorable? If not, how will council respond? What will it cost to administer the bylaw? Can existing staff be expected to handle the additional responsibilities, or will more staff be required? And is the municipality prepared to enforce the bylaw and enforce it consistently? And this is what council has to consider.
But I think this is different from the from those kind of bylaws that you're mentioning there, because this is a policy. Doesn't have enforcement. It doesn't have penalties. It's basically a policy giving education and information, which from the Municipal Act, adoption of policies, a municipality shall adopt and maintain policies with respect to the following matters: its sale and other disposition of land, its hiring of employees, the relationship between members of council and the officers and employees of the municipality, its procurement of goods and services, the circumstances in which the municipality shall provide notice to the public, and if notice is to be provided, the form, manner, and times notice shall be given, the manner in which the municipality will try to ensure that it is accountable to the public for its actions, and the manner in which the municipality will try to ensure that its actions are transparent to the public, the delegation of its powers and duties, the manner in which the municipality will protect and enhance the tree canopy and natural vegetation in the municipality. So it's interesting that right a couple of I don't have it here, but for the Municipal Act, a couple of sections down it talks about quashing a bylaw. So I think that this could be set as a resolution as well, but since it is a long term policy, I think that's why it was enacted in McKellar and pretty well every municipality in Ontario as a tree canopy bylaw.
And my concern is, I guess, if it's a policy, then it's how the public, that's where I thought it should be publicized in some way, how the public interprets that policy. Is council supporting this policy verbatim? In which case, if a neighbor complains about another neighbor, they're going to refer to this policy, are they not? And then what does the council do? We have it in place, but we're not enforcing anything. We're just educating you. But does that resolve the problem, neighbor versus neighbor?
Well, I think in the original 2019-12 background and purpose, section 270.17 of the Municipal Act requires a municipality adopt a plan which describes how to protect and enhance the tree canopy and natural vegetation. The purpose is to offer a summary understanding of local vegetation, conservation considerations, and promote best practices for sustainable tree canopy in the township settlement areas as well as on its shorelines and rural residential properties. So there is no enforcement. So, and there are no penalties. So a bylaw enforcement officer would say, well, this is a policy and it's a recommendation as a policy, but it's not enforceable because there are no penalties and there are no
so why do we even have this? Why do we even have this if we can't enforce it? We also, I think we have done our due diligence because, like I said, the ministries, they don't even know what each other is doing. Because back when we did OPA8, the Ministry of Natural Resources put out, like I said, that mapping for fire zones. Do you recall that? The fire zones around everybody's place, they wanted all of the trees cut down because they said it was hazardous because of all these fires that were going on all over the place. So they're wanting the trees cut down around your home, and now we're saying we want to keep the trees there. So what the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, and I think McKellar has done that, done their best, because they've said it. They fought that with the municipal affairs and natural resources, saying that no, that doesn't make any sense for the people to cut the trees around their homes and stuff. So we did it then, and also and it does infringe on private individuals' rights, because in the end you're going to have to get a license to cut a tree on your own property, and that's just it's just all more bureaucracy, and like we can't enforce it. So I think common sense, a person buys a piece of property, they should be able to, you know, they live there, they're not going to destroy it. That's where they live. They want to keep the lakes healthy, and you know, the property good. So I don't understand why we even have this. Because I, like I said, we did do, it says in there that they're supposed to inform the people, and we did protect and enhance the tree canopy, and we've done that in two different situations, one with the tree cutting bylaw, and then again with the official plan, and I think we've done it all along.
Okay. Any other comments from council? Okay, Jeffrey, I think you had a couple of things to talk about.
Yes, so the second is the water report, and this is the investigations of water quality in McKellar Township in 2024, and also you received the aquatic environmental report done by the Georgian Bay Biosphere. So in terms of the work done in McKellar Township, after a heavy rain event over a few days near the end of June resulted in high levels of E. coli, over 500 coliform units per 100 mils in some areas, and especially in Moffat Lake, where the three samples taken from the lake all showed readings close to 700. The MLCA issued an advisory with guidelines to follow should people decide to swim at their own risk. E. coli levels drop after a few sunny days because of the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. After this event, MLCA received a call from a resident who was drawing his household water from the lake and using it without any treatment. Our concern is that there may be more residents who lack awareness of the hazards of using untreated water. As far as I'm aware, water treatment is not part of the building code or building inspection in McKellar. In the main, the analysis of phosphorus levels was within levels expected for mesotrophic lakes. There was a spike in Robinson Bay in July, which settled into a normal range when sampling was repeated in September. Calcium levels were within the normal range for lakes in our area. The results of our phosphorus and calcium testing, as well as lake chemistry and other parameters, are available on the McKellar Township website for all residents to examine. Benthic sampling that was completed and analyzed by the Georgia Bay Biosphere was also within normal levels for the lakes in our area. So that's my brief summary of those two reports. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
I'm not sure if this is the place. There were comments at the last meeting that you had concerns, maybe that's coming up, with the aquatic environmental report, so we deferred it, we didn't accept it.
It has been changed. So this document that was sent to you was altered by GBB at my request.
Okay, I guess we don't have the new one. We just have, because of costs of running it off, we don't have the newest version from them. We just have the original.
It's November 22nd, I think, was the date that I sent it in, Carly.
Yeah, it's in the council package online, like the electronic package you received. Just not printed.
It's not printed, okay. And is it highlighted what the changes were?
No.
That makes it difficult because that's a long document. I wonder if that could be done. I don't know who would do it. But
are you going to give a brief summary, Jennifer, of what the changes were?
They hadn't realized that McKellar Town, MLCA is, and the Environment Committee are doing their own testing, so I informed them of that and where to find it, and then they incorporated that into their report.
Okay. So their actual figures and the comment, nothing changes there. It's just adding some information?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then the third report, are there other questions, sorry, about the water sampling and testing?
Well, it seems to be covered.
Okay, thank you. And then the third report I sent in was on a report on the Resilience to Climate Change conference that I attended in Bracebridge in October. And so I have sent in a summary that I wrote of the talks that I attended. The main message in this Resilience to Climate Change conference was that we can mitigate the negative changes and challenges that are and will be happening as a result of climate change by applying and acting on the knowledge we have of our watersheds and our precious environment. Climate change is here, and in itself, accelerates more climate change. So climate change begets climate change. Perhaps the most impactful statements in the conference to me were that in our area, that our area will become warmer, but will still be livable, habitable, and that there will be climate refugees from areas of the world within a few decades, if not sooner, that are no longer from areas of the world that are no longer livable, coming to live in Canada. So I would urge council to plan for a possible influx of people, to consider planning this when you're considering changes to land usage in the future. To plan for a possible influx of people in a few decades by identifying lands where a sewage treatment plant could be built for the village, where a water tower could be placed, and where housing could be built that least disturbs the agricultural industry and the forests and the waterways of McKellar Township, and be certain that that land is not assigned to other uses. I've sent you the more detailed notes on the talks that I took, and also shared this with members of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee and the executive of the MLCA. So I just wanted to bring the current thinking on climate change and how it could affect our area and inform council of this.
Okay, appreciate that, very detailed. And you sure you weren't one of the presenters? The information that's here is very good information.
No, they were pretty inspiring presenters.
I'm intrigued by, you mentioned, because this came up years back too for the village, and we went through our planner and discussed it, but sewage treatment plant, and that didn't go anywhere, just for logistics. I'm just interested in I don't want to, you know, extend this too long, but how you envision something like that for this small village of McKellar. We have a settlement area, so the Ministry of Municipal Affairs tells us, and it extends only so far. So I'm just wondering, and are you looking at costs and what goes on in Nobel and in Perry Sound and the costs involved in a sewage treatment plant? Do you really think it's feasible for a rural area like McKellar to do something like that?
I haven't looked at the costs. What I am suggesting as a preliminary initial step is to have an idea of what piece of land something like that would sit on and try to preserve it for usage in the distant future for something like a sewage treatment facility. So where on a water body is that best placed? I would think that if there is a concentration of a population, that it would be in the village. I don't think it's feasible to pipe water all around the lakes and out or sewage all around the lakes. I don't think that's feasible. I think this would need to be concentrated within the McKellar area. But that was just, you know, if we have a large influx of people, say in 20 years, then it would be good to have had this in mind and to have sort of done some pre-planning for it. And I was reading about an area, a country in the world where it's very small, and there are 2 million people there, and I can't remember which one, but I just looked up the area of McKellar Township. And this country within its boundaries had 2 million people, and its boundaries were exactly twice the size of McKellar Township. And so I don't know, you know, these are the scientists who are saying we could get a huge influx of people. And so I think that the nature of our area might change unless we plan for it. I think that we, when we consider these far-flung possible events, I think it's important to maintain the agricultural industry. So planning to do that, and planning to maintain our forest areas. And so where can we sit a concentration of population? What would that look like in McKellar Township if we suddenly needed to have an influx of people and house them? And so I'm just encouraging council to consider that possibility and keep it in the back of your mind when you're looking at other land use changes and that kind of thing that come down in the future, that this may be where we end up, and none of us might be around for it, but I think it would behoove us to plan it as a possibility.
Okay, thank you. Other comments from council? Jennifer's presentation? Councilor Tekken?
The more I get thinking about the tree canopy bylaw, I think it should be a resolution, because just this, like you were saying, the bylaw is something that the intention is to enforce something, whereas this call, it's a policy, so it should be, I think it should be a resolution rather than a bylaw. So the question is, why did all the municipalities enact it as a bylaw in 2019 instead of pass a resolution with a policy? Because we have policies in place which I think were just passed as resolutions.
I think what's happening more so now, the Municipal Act is suggesting, you know, things can be done by resolution as well, but they don't seem to carry as much weight as a bylaw. I think it actually says it should be bylaw, but then they put in as an aside, it could be a resolution. And I think maybe that's why a lot of the municipalities are going by that. Even now, at the end of all of our meetings, and we never used to do it, you'd pass an all-encompassing bylaw that covers everything that you've done during the meeting, just to cover all the things that were discussed, and that everything is legal as such. So I think that's why people went with the bylaw, and the Municipal Act does refer to, you know, one of the policies you need in place, and so I think they just jumped at it. concern is that, yes, you put all these in place, and does it just sit on the shelf? I mean, do you really do anything with it? I think the education is good, what the Lake Stewardship Group is doing. And I think that's the key to hit the people. You know, I guess I had a question, too, about maybe a little off topic, but with the minutes you talked about the welcome package. I'm just not sure whether that's just from your committee or whether it includes other things for new people coming in.
As it stands now, it comes from our committee, but I've certainly been thinking about the fact that it could include other things. Councillor Kekkonen and I have discussed the McKellar business guide that was put out a couple of years ago, and I've been looking at that. So I'm thinking that there certainly is the possibility of expanding it to beyond the terms that of the LSEC's actions, and putting in other things, and also in terms of the workings of council and other committees that exist. I think that such a welcome package is really needed when you have people who are moving up from the city, and many people who moved in over the last 2 or 3 years have never lived in a rural area. And so, you know, my concern is that we need to meet them with, this is how you do it. This is what's important when you're living this close to the environment. And we have a very strong community, a very welcoming community. And I think that having things that, you know, people can look at when they first move here and have some guidance, because they've never, you know, dealt with the septic system. They've never decided how close to the lake their property can be built. And I know one of our committee members was really wishing that he'd had that kind of information before he built, when he came up a few years ago. And so that's our motivation, is to educate people how you do it, and everybody can live cooperatively in this beautiful rural setting.
Okay. There's just one comment in the minutes, too, and I don't want to extend this, but it does say on page 2 by Rob, this is news to me, that many properties, the township owns a shore road allowance.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that information comes from, because I have just the opposite information, so...
Yeah, we need to clarify that, because Rob is under the impression, and he may be extrapolating from other areas, that the township still owns the road allowance. And I know that it's been batted around in various areas, that some people are buying their road allowance, and is it for sale, is it not for sale? So I'm not exactly sure where that stands. But Rob, I think, was hoping that if the township owns the road allowance, then that would be a vehicle to, I guess, to regulate whether or not trees are taken down. That was the context of it. But most of us are all of us actually are not in favor of having an enforceable bylaw, as I mentioned it, and we'll be happy to reword this so that that's quite clear. I think the main thrust of having this policy is to say, this is what the governance of McKellar Township supports. They support having a healthy waterfront, and so you're talking to people who have not lived in a rural area before and have no idea that taking down the trees affects the water quality. It's just not, those thoughts are not connected in their minds. And so having council support this sort of policy will certainly facilitate our efforts at education. But I'll be contacting various members of council and, you know, giving them a look at the next draft that we'll put out, and trying to go back and forth so I get an idea of, I did write some notes, but I don't have complete notes on all the things that were said tonight, but I do need to capture them.
Okay, well, the method we prefer, of course, is that you report to council just like you're doing here. this evening,
okay.
rather
yeah.
than you know, separate and try to get information, because ultimately it's a council decision.
Right. Okay.
What policies go forward?
Okay.
Well, thanks very much.
Okay. Very good.
Resolution 24-634, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the November 19th, 2024 regular meeting of Council and the November 22nd, 2024 special meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-635, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the October 17th, 2024 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Any discussion? Guess I jumped the gun there when I started talking about the minutes. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-636, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report that MIN-2024-04 IT Services and Support updates from Clerk Administrator Carly Britton for information purposes. Discussion?
I think that's a great report. A lot of good improvements. Been a long time we needed this, so.
I agree. The improvements necessary and the report itself, excellent the way it was written and put together. Easy to follow. Councilor Ryan?
Yeah, it's a great report. I really appreciate all the time and effort that you put into this. I asked the question once before, at least once before, but has anything been done about getting laptops for Rob Morrison and Jan?
Gibson, yeah. Yet. It will be included in the 2025 capital budget.
Okay.
I guess the question is that council, we don't really have a policy as to, like, if a staff member wanted a different operating system, like, for instance, a Mac, would council be agreeable to that? So that may be a question that staff come to council with.
Okay.
But it will be a part of the 2025 budget.
Also, in the second paragraph under analysis, I know it's about adding access or improving access throughout the building. From my personal experience, there is virtually no access in the community center in there. I know that's posed problems in previous meetings we tried to have there. I just wanted to make sure that specifically they know that so that they can deal with it. Right. And I have one other thing. I noticed that you know, with Office 365, it comes with Microsoft Teams, which I have used, although I'd be hard pressed to name with whom recently, and actually was quite favorably impressed with it. Is it a possibility that we would switch from Zoom to Teams?
It could be a possibility, but we'd come to council with that option and approve, like, ask for approval. I would like to stick with Zoom. Teams is, I'm not sure the specifications of Teams, but Zoom allows for a higher number of people to view the meeting. I believe Teams doesn't have the same capacity as Zoom, but I would have to confirm that.
I've used it, including downloading it and running it probably on my phone and certainly at least once on my laptop. It's probably a Chamber of Commerce meeting, I think, that they did that way. And frankly, was impressed with it in terms of its usability. That's really the main feature. And I know it wouldn't be something we could do overnight. I'm not suggesting that. But the other kind of related issue to that is that when we've had LSCC meetings in this room, we are effectively unable to use the equipment that's here that we're using right now. And my point would be that I'd like to make sure that we ask Near North Business Machines if they can provide a means for approved users using our room using this room, the council chambers, to be able to hold it using, well, Zoom the same way that we're using it right now, right? And or other products if that becomes an issue. But it's a real problem. We should see how much equipment Jennifer brings so that we do it. And then the last meeting, I think we had about half and half here in the room and half on Zoom. And it's really quite unsatisfactory. That's the right word anyhow. And if we can find a solution so that with people that are authorized to use the room and authorized to use Zoom, that they could find it, you know, log in the same way that we are for this meeting. Mm-hmm. Right? That's my point. But and I don't know that they know that. And it is quite a frustrating thing for, I'm sure it is for other groups too, but I know the Rec Committee has meetings in here too, so I don't know if they try to use Zoom for that. I really don't. But so what we end up doing is running it on a laptop and then trying to get everybody showing. It's quite, I was going to say it's comical. It's not, but it's quite humorous at times anyhow in terms of how it gets used, that's all. So, but otherwise, no, I think it's a great report. It's great progress and a real bonus in terms of the improvements that have been made and are planned even in the document. So thank you. I don't know.
You still allow in your Lake Stewardship in person people could come to your meeting?
I'm sorry, I'm having real trouble.
Could people come to your meeting in person? And
yes, although and that's new in the last, I don't know if Jennifer's even here. Yes, she's still there. But up until this year, maybe even midway through this year, none of our meetings were in person. I would come here in case members of the public wanted to come. In my experience in doing that, nobody ever came. I'm not particularly surprised by that, but by the same token, yeah, we had about half and half, so some of the room, but the people that are at home or at work or wherever they are and they're logging in, of course they're trying to figure out because we're looking at a laptop screen set up over there and we're sitting down here so that we can fit into the camera that Jennifer brings with her. And it's okay, but that's all that it is, so, right? And I wouldn't propose anything special, just simply the access points here for Zoom should be able to be used by other approved and authorized users, right? That's all, in the same way. And no, obviously we wouldn't want to say Township of McKellar, although maybe we could, I don't know, but I mean, it's still not, it's just asking for the ability for others, other than council itself, to be able to use this room for meetings on Zoom, that's all. And I'm sure they probably have familiarity with that. They seem to be, the one time they came and presented when I was here, they were quite, impressive in terms of what they knew. Right?
I think the Historical Committee is really eager to get on Zoom.
Absolutely.
And use this equipment.
We would benefit if that was set up so that it was easy for the committees to use. We'd definitely benefit. We have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow, but because the weather's looking bad and there's some committee members coming from Parry Sound, the meeting's going to be canceled. So we'd definitely benefit from a Zoom option.
With the Historical Committee, your meetings are within office hours in the municipal office, so we could easily facilitate that if you just let us know date and time.
Okay.
We can turn it all on, basically, and then it's just the committee having the meeting. Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee is a bit different because your meetings are outside of office hours, so like you can use the equipment. It does take some practice to learn how to make it work, but we can work together to teach one or two people to do that.
And one other thing, now that I just think about it, I forgot about it, was given the last meeting we had last week, I can't remember, where we were using the microphones for two people down here, and being on the receiving end of that Zoom call, I could not hear a word they were saying for 90% of it, not a thing. I could see their mouth moving, I couldn't hear anything.
There was just a message on the chat there indicating that one of the microphones isn't working properly.
Oh. But and again, I'm not trying to add to their list of things to do, but I mean, it is something that's a concern, and especially when you're not there. And I actually used a pair of headphones, thinking that might be better than just listening to the sound on my phone. And frankly, it was even worse. So I quickly took them off and went back to the phone sound and things. But and it's particularly bad when somebody is a key contributor at a meeting and you can't hear them. I mean, it's basically worthless. So,
Councilor Keckman.
Just a comment on the report. Very thankful for this update and very pleased with the work that Mary North Business Machines are doing. You know, just verifying our existing systems, upgrading, and setting us up for success in every aspect. It's just unbelievable the extent of what they're doing. And just the one question, will that mean that we have Starlink and we have Vienna or Explore now?
We have Vienna here, so council can pass a resolution if they wish at some point to disconnect the service with Vienna, since Starlink has, you know, proven within the last couple months that Near North Business Machine has been in place that it is reliable, and we're not requiring that additional backup.
So that's good that, you know, we're at that stage where it has been proven to be reliable and that we can terminate the other service. And the surprise that the Starlink satellite dish did not even need to be moved.
No.
And it's good that they're being proactive in setting up what they call them service points for other connections at a future date. I think that's something we need to discuss during the budget meetings.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-637, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby authorized the Treasurer to transfer surplus funds as of December 31st, 2024, remaining in the following operating budgets to the respective reserve account. 2024 Recreation Committee operating budget to the Recreation Committee reserve account, and 2024 Historical Committee operating budget to the St. Stephen's/Hemlock Church capital reserve account, and 2024 Fire Department operating/capital budget to reserve account. And further, that these transfers occur annually without a resolution from Council moving forward. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-638, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas the residents of the Township of McKellar are aware of the provincial government's commitment to delivering reliable high-speed internet access to every community across the province by the end of 2025, and whereas the provincial government has released an interactive mapping tool to provide information on the rollout of high-speed internet, but the tool lacks sufficient detail and fails to provide specific or timely updates for projects in the area. This area, leaving residents uncertain and uninformed. And whereas residents are receiving fraudulent calls from individuals falsely claiming to be Bell employees or contractors, attempting to gain access to the computers under the pretense of setting up high-speed internet, now therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar strongly urges the provincial government to enhance the interactive mapping tool and provide more detailed, area-specific updates on infrastructure projects, as improved communication will help ensure residents are well informed, reducing confusion and protecting them from potential scams. And further, that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Honorable Kinga Surma, Minister of Infrastructure, Parisan Muskoka MPP Braden Smith, the Association of Ontario Municipalities, the Federation of Northern Ontario Municipalities, and to all Ontario municipalities for support. Discussion?
I can give some context to this if you like.
Yes, okay.
So I had a resident phone in fairly distraught that she had fallen for a scam. She had somebody phoning in basically saying that they were from Bell. They had high-speed internet projects within the area, and they had gained access to her computer. So she phoned the township for more information. This is a provincially funded project, so the municipality doesn't really have much control over what happens. She requested that the MLCA be aware so that they could advertise this in their monthly newsletter. Upon speaking to Steve McDonnell, he suggested that perhaps council pass a resolution asking the provincial government to enhance the mapping tool so that people are aware. Everyone knows that it's coming. There's just no specific dates as to when. Bell had communicated to the township early on that there would be door knockers placed on individual properties to say that it is hooked up and you can have access to it now. I haven't received any further communication as to if that is happening, when that's happening. So there's just a bit of a delay in information, and people are falling now for these scams.
Probably doesn't help, because I think Cogeco is doing the 124 area too. So
yes.
And the Bell is more further to the east.
Basically, anything off of the highway is Bell.
Okay.
I think Cogeco is going to Herbville, wasn't it? Like down Herbville Road. And
sorry, I could be mistaken.
So it is confusing, and that interactive map isn't very interactive. It doesn't give you any specific details at all. You know, did you know that there was high speed internet at the end of Camp Road and a little onto Cardinal Court?
Mm-hmm.
The only place in McKellar? How did that get there? You know, like, from there's no, like, it's not as if it's the interactive map is showing that it's coming from the Bell switching station where the fiber internet line is down Center Road and everyone has access to that particular point, McKellar. It's just that one little spot is, you know, the green lines for the high speed internet.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, it's a good motion. I think it's a great idea to get the word out there to avoid people getting scammed.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-639, moved by Councillor Haskell, second Councillor Ryland. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give all permanent full-time staff, including Market Manager Dan Gibson, Fire Chief Robert Morrison, a $100 Christmas bonus. Discussion? Councillor Haskell, you have a comment before us. I'm waiting.
Well, I just hope that a lot of our employees, I could probably almost say all of them, are more appreciated than $100, let's say. But I guess you got to have some amount in there, and $100 will get you a fair-sized haircut kind of thing. So, in other words, I think a lot of employees deserve more, but at the same time, we're tight on the budget, so, but we certainly appreciate our staff.
Any further comment? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 21.2. Resolution 24-640, moved by Councillor Tecknen, second by Councillor Zulak. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-83, being a bylaw to authorize the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to accept the transfer of lands from the Incorporated Synod of the Diocese of Algoma, Parts 4, 5, and 6, Plan 42R-6765, the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this third day of December 2024. Discussion? This is another reason, I think, why it's important to check all of the township properties that we supposedly own, and to check whether it be the registry office or wherever, to confirm that we do own those particular properties, because sometimes we don't, we think we do, and then that comes back to bite us. So I don't know who's going to do that or whether it's been done, but it's especially important too, I think, with the proposal to put up a tower at the because that was an M&R transfer of property, and I just want to make sure that it is in the township name before we do anything else with it.
Yes, because sometimes transferring land, they doesn't get finished off as being registered.
Right.
You know, that happened a lot way back in history in McKellar Township, is it wasn't being finished off, the deals. So yeah, it's a good idea to check the properties that we're going to especially put a tower on.
Well, hopefully that other proposal comes through.
Yeah, okay. I just mentioned that one because it was in the works. But okay, any further discussion on this?
It'd be good to get that piece registered in McKellar Township's name. So,
call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-641, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Hassman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-84, in the bylaw to enter into an agreement with the Ontario Provincial Police for the provision of a 911 calling service, the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this third day of December 2024. Discussion? I know we had a new one sitting in front of us here. Was different from original package.
Yes.
Any history on that?
Just some changes that were made that were brought to my attention. So previously in 2019, it was a different ministry, Minister of Community Safety and Correctional Service. So that's been changed to the Solicitor General. And then in the first whereas clause, it's specific reference to Section 22 of the Municipal Act. So it's just been, the section has been changed.
Now the agreement. Oh, correct. Councilor Beckman.
Or do you want to say something?
No. I just want to end with the agreement.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering. It does talk about this letter is a follow up to our August 2023 correspondence sent to advise of upcoming changes to the primary public safety answering point service agreement. It would have been good to see that correspondence because I think the 911 committee may have called a meeting just to get an update so that members could provide some type of clarification if any questions or just to understand fully, you know, what if there are, because it's talking about the new generation. We heard about it at the 911 committee meetings prior to COVID, so quite a few years ago now, but it would be good to have some details with the specifics. I know there are some being able to text information, text videos, text photos, but I just think if the committee would have had a chance to meet and then be able to provide more detail, especially because we're paying for the service, so it'd be good to know what we're actually paying for. I know it does have information in the agreement, but
was the last committee meeting in 2019?
It was prior to COVID-19.
Okay. So the administration for that committee has changed. Bruce is no longer with the Westbury Sound Health Center. Dave Thompson approached me last Thursday at our regional emergency management training meeting. They're going to have to call a meeting in the new year to reconfigure the administration. McKellar has just primarily been on the finance side of it, so now there's no one in the admin, so they'll have to discuss whether that be held by the Westbury Sound Health Center or one of the municipalities.
So I guess the question is, does that original committee still exist?
It's never been disbanded, so
so you should be part of the conversation then?
Yes, I'm still the appointed member on that committee, so.
I think the intention is Dave Thompson wants to call a meeting in the new year just to bring the committee back together since it's been so long, make sure that everyone knows their role within it and whom is doing the administration going forward.
Good. Sounds good.
Councilor Ryan?
Anybody know where they get the residential population number in the cover letter? In the second paragraph where they say it's 20,234?
I noticed that as well, and I looked up the numbers that the POA are using for Westbury Sound, and I added up, they have two different categories. They have population, and then they have, I think it's called residences.
Okay.
And so then they add the two together, and they average it, divide it by two, and that's how they, for the POA. But I looked at these numbers here, and they seemed to align with what was the up-to-date numbers for the POA that the POA is using for the upcoming year. So
they don't quote their source though anywhere in the document, at least not that I could find it. I went looking everywhere to see the last census population for all the West Parish Sound municipalities was 18,000 and change. So that's a significant change. Not to say that it didn't change, it probably has, but it would be worthwhile to quote it, because then I assume they bill each individual municipality. Does that make sense? Because there is no West Parish Sound that you can send the bill for and say, here, you pay it. But
well, we do the treasury function here, so I believe the bill comes to the township, and then Brochon issues bills to the member municipalities.
Okay, and we manage that here?
Yes.
Okay. And so how would you know the population of those individual municipalities?
Well, that number was provided by OPP, but we can verify that.
And it's not hugely wrong, but I mean, it is significant. And the 2021 census, which is now 3 years old, I get, but it's quite possible that that is the number. But as soon as I saw it, I thought, well, where do they get it? And they don't tell you anywhere in here. And they're only charging 50 cents per household, 56 cents per household, so it's not like it's a big deal, but.
Yeah, so it sort of caught my attention because they talked about a 10% increase, and then I was more familiar with a 20-25% increase.
I know.
So then I looked at the POA numbers, and it's.
But I thought, given all the paper here, somewhere through here, there'll be something that tells me where they got that number. But
yeah, that would be useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm wondering as well in the actual bylaw, number one down below, it says Parish Sound area. Should it say West Parish Sound area? Be a little more definitive. Mm-hmm. I think even the OPP are called the West Parish Sound, right?
Yeah, I mean, on this page here, they simply name the municipalities, but you're right, it doesn't call it West Parish Sound, although on the bylaw, no.
No, that's a little different because it talks about participating municipalities, which you're covering as.
Yeah, I know.
For the West Parish Sound area, for the OPP.
I'm sure it's a conundrum for the OPP too, so.
And all the ones listed on the last page that need to sign are the ones that are in the West Parish Sound, so right, be specific. So this bylaw here, are all the municipalities signing this exact same, passing the same bylaw?
Each municipality has to pass a bylaw. The bylaw itself isn't the same word for word. It speaks to entering into an agreement with OPP for the provision of 911 calling service, but the verbiage would be different.
Like just where it says McKellar, Township McKellar, have the name of the.
There wasn't a template set out for each municipality to copy, and you'll look in the 2019 agreement, each municipality's bylaw they've passed is a little different.
Okay.
But I know there used to be, when you had a number of municipalities going jointly into an agreement, they'd all sign the same copy of the agreement, so that they'd all be there. Like thinking of the Parish Sound Area Information Center, everybody signed it. And so you'd end up with a copy with all the signatures on it. And I guess that doesn't happen anymore.
The OPP requested that each municipality pass their own individual bylaw, and then in the case of Wisoxing, that a band council resolution be passed. So we're just doing what the OPP is asking.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you talked to the emergency management. You mentioned about the municipal assistance program, and there was a bylaw that was passed. And I looked at the one that was provided, there was only one signature on that sort of thing, and there should be some original somewhere where everybody signed the same agreement, so they're all on the same page, I would think, but depending on what the OPP wants, I guess.
So I'm taking the lead in the absence of an admin for this paperwork. So all the municipalities are forwarding me their bylaws, and then I'm compiling one document to send to the OPP and then circulating it to us for some municipalities.
Excellent. Councilor Zula?
I was just going to say on that first page where it says to be to return to the OPP by December the 1st.
I've spoken to OPP and they're allowing us to be late on that deadline because I just received this email not long ago. I sent it to the municipalities right away, and then each municipality, some have only one council meeting in December and some have multiple. So for everyone to get their bylaws passed at a regular meeting, I informed the OPP that it needed to be by the end of December.
Good. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Unfinished business? Anything from that list? Added or deleted?
Carly, could I ask about the quotations for the playground equipment? I mean, I know you say you've got them collected, but what was there a material response, like a number of?
I'd approached a couple of vendors just to ask ballpark what play equipment would be, and a lot said that $40,000 wouldn't even cover it, and that was in our a budget.
Okay.
So we may have to rethink the play structure, maybe be downgraded to maybe a swing set and a slide. Structures, I guess, have gone up drastically in price.
Okay. How many surveys did you get?
How many surveys?
Yeah.
I think about 8.
Okay.
There was good, like, it seemed like all of the families in Broadbent did respond. So
yeah.
It wasn't for a lack of surveys, it's more of just that the budget isn't big enough for what we were thinking.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Councilor Kekka?
On the unfinished business list, rename Hart Road, is that still in the works?
The owners of the road have never contacted me with a new name. They were advised that they need to come up with a name and present it to council, but nothing's come forward yet.
So Fire Roots is still recognized, I would think.
Yes.
Anything under,
So I was just looking at information sessions for the various pavement.
Yes, so Miller has said they're available the week of January 13th or 20th to provide a presentation, so if council wants to let me know what works, we will have them here.
This thing would have to be clarified when they present that whatever is decided upon, if anything, I would have to go to tender. It wouldn't necessarily go to the people doing the presentation.
It's more or less just for information.
Right.
It's just information.
Yeah.
Because there are other companies that can provide a similar service.
Is Dunport able to present as well? Or?
Yes, I just need to get their availability.
Okay. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Anything from committee, your workshops? Councilor Kekka?
So, Sounds of the Season, the Prairie Sound Singers will be at the McKellar Community Center, hosted by the McKellar Historical Committee, Saturday, December 7th, 2024, at 2:30 p.m. Free admission. There will be Christmas sing-along and a bake sale. Cash donations to the Salvation Army and Harvest Share will be accepted. So here at the community center, bring your singing voice and
I don't
your
think
favorite
they,
Christmas carols.
I don't think they want you to join in. I don't want to think.
No, I've heard of Canada. Yeah,
that's why we need someone with a good singing voice like you, Morley.
Got to know the words.
Yeah, that's right. Other committee reports?
We have planning, Prairie Sound Area Planning Board meeting. I think there's only 3 applications, all from Whitestone. I didn't hear back from Patrick. Are we having a meeting in December?
Yes, I think it's going to be, I think he said the 23rd now.
Oh, sorry.
Well, he was asking people for their availability.
Right.
And I think that some people responded, not everybody though, and they were responding to all. There was
Yeah, I'm just hoping, yeah, he'll let us know at some
yeah.
point for sure.
I think by the 22nd he'll let you know.
Okay, had a rec committee meeting last week. We had a visitor, Bill Jarvis, who is a registered instructor for Chinese martial arts, and he'd like to start giving the training and courses here at the community center in April. So that's probably going to be all arranged. He's just strictly doing it on a volunteer basis. He will not be paid. And he takes children 9 and up, all the way up to seniors. So, but of course, if he gets enough people registered and stuff, we're going to attempt that.
I just ask, does he have a good waiver form for liability? That's a concern, especially talking that type of exercise. And
right.
I think we have to be very careful there.
Yeah, well, I think then we'd have to turn it over to staff to ensure that there's no risk of that. I guess that is covered under our insurance, I guess, somehow, or he has what's required.
I can ask about insurance, or he may have to purchase insurance through the municipality, fracture coverage, and the other thing is he would need a vulnerable sector check if he's working with young children as well.
Right.
Which I can help facilitate, but if you just connect him with me, we can do that.
Right. Movie nights, because turnouts haven't been great, they've been okay, we're going to take a year off from movie nights. And
I think you're probably competing with what people have in their own homes, so that's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's too bad. It's a good setup and great sound and everything, but yeah, people have everything in their own homes now, so. We're having the Christmas party for the kids on Friday, December 13th here at the community center. And a short movie to follow. We set dates for the Kids Fish Derby Saturday, February 15th here at the Community Center on Armstrong Lake. Going to have a St. Patrick's Day dance since they're usually always successful on Saturday, March 15th. And we're going to have a snowmobile ride here that will start and finish here at the Community Center grounds on Sunday, March 2nd. Yes, there will be snow and ice, in case you wonder. That's the forecast. And we passed a motion appointing rec committee members for the 2025 season. But we left Rick Breer, who takes care of the kids ball program, off the motion because he doesn't participate with the committee. But I'm wondering are we going to be appointing everybody to all the committees starting in January? Or?
Well, if you've just done it with the Recreation Committee, we could leave that off. I would still put an advertisement to say if you wanted to join the Rec Committee, you can, but if you've just redone that process, we won't bother.
Oh, well, we always will take, I don't think we're up to our maximum. We can take a couple more.
Okay.
But I think what's important, though, that maybe council pass a motion appointing Rick to look after the kids' ball program.
Right.
To make sure he's still covered.
And the idea of the committees, too, is for council to pass a resolution for the members of the committees as well. So if you can just put someone from the committee forward me the names for 2025.
Yes, we'll forward you the minutes.
We'll include them in the advertisement. So.
Right. Okay. And I guess no hurry to appoint Rick for the kids' ball program, obviously, but we'll have to make sure we do that. Yeah, so that was a good meeting.
Okay, Councillor Sula.
On Belvedere, there was that securing the financing by the November the 8th deadline, and that's been extended to the end of February. And also, we had signed that resolution with Carling doing the funding, the loan agreement. And I thought maybe we would have to rescind that because now Seguin, because it says all 8 municipalities participating, but Seguin is not willing to have it done that way. So they want to go in on it and also McDougal in on it. So I thought we would have to rescind this, but apparently we don't have a amount of money in there. So we can still do it, but we'll also be getting resolutions from Seguin and McDougal because they're going to go in on it with Carly so that it will be able to be done. I thought thought maybe Belvedere would have to go and get the loan themselves, which would take longer. But Seguin and McDougall are wanting to go in on it. And also we don't have to rescind that. And a lot of the other stuff regarding Belvedere has all been in closed session, so I guess we'll just have to have a closed session at one time and bring everybody up to date.
Okay, sounds good. Anyone else? Okay, we have resolution 24-642, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to discuss from that list? Councillor Zulak?
I was just wondering, do you think 25.8 should come out? I know we've passed a lot of different motions regarding the school.
Yeah, I think we have, so I don't know.
Okay.
Whether that would help or not. I think it's good that the trustees now are getting involved. Yes.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have the pledge. So.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of sounds like good news, eh? The responsibility of Google may survive.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions or comments from the public in person on Zoom related to items on the agenda? Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-85, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time in past and open Council this third day of December 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-644, moved by Councillor Kekinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:14 p.m.
to meet again on December the 5th, 2024, for a special closed meeting of Council to discuss engineering estimates, material specifications, and related tendering strategies for upgrades to Stony Road, Dockside Drive, and Bruce Trail, or to call of the mayor. Call the question.